Chapter 5. After my interview with Steve Hopper, I hurried home to Levi, anxious to see what modern technology could tell me about Andrea's first husband. I also needed to research two other cases of women who had mysteriously disappeared without a clue. Although my book would focus on Andrea Wirth, something may have turned up on the other two missing women that would help in our search for Sophie's daughter. The only thing to do was to go to Amarilla and start digging. Even if it turned out that Tom Mott wasn't involved in her disappearance, their very short marriage had obviously been vitriolic at times, and the repercussions from that were sure to be rooted in Andrea's hometown. The purchase of an adjoining ranch so soon after their marriage looked suspicious in itself, and even if we couldn't get financial details, there were bound to be folks around town who knew the family and were willing to talk. Mom was sweeping off the front porch when I turned into the driveway. She always insisted the porch should be as clean as the living room floor. Putting the broom aside, she walked down the steps. "Well, what did you learn from Grant? Was your trip worthwhile?" Before I could reply, she continued, "I'm sure you didn't stop for lunch, and it's almost 3 o'clock. Come on in the house. I've made sandwiches." When we were seated at the kitchen table, I told her about talking with Steve Hopper. Then I asked, "How would you like to go to Amarilla tomorrow?" I thought she'd be surprised, but my mother quite often was one jump ahead of me. "I was just thinking last night that we ought to go to Amarilla," she said. "After all, that's where Andrea was married the first time and where she lived and worked for quite a while. It stands to reason there's stuff there we ought to know if we're going to find out what happened." "Good. I thought we'd leave early in the morning. I've already called Detective Lee Davis. Steve Hopper said he was the officer who did all the background work there, and Davis can see me at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Maybe we can spend a couple of nights in Amarilla and do a little sightseeing while we're investigating." Mom smiled. "I'll bet we can find a little cafe there, too, just like Dilly's. I'll bet this Davis man can tell us if there's an eating place like that. We can go there for lunch and hear a lot of gossip. Sometimes, Darcy, there's a nugget of truth in gossip if a person listens hard. I'll give Sophie a call and tell her we are coming." Taking my sandwich and coffee, I went upstairs to crank up my computer. Stories of the missing women stuck in my mind because they were particularly poignant. Through the internet, I could read accounts from several different sources. They were bound to contain facts that were new to me. After a lot of reading, I found that the two women who disappeared into thin air like Andrea Wirth were both in their early 30s. One of them lived in Naples, Florida. She vanished in nearly the same fashion as Andrea. Her husband went to work one morning, leaving his wife in the shower. She never did show up for her job as a dental hygienist, but her handbag was missing, and her car was discovered later in the parking lot at a local restaurant. That was in October of 1995. No trace of that poor woman ever surfaced. And I found nothing more than that which was similar to Andrea. The second woman lived near Fredericksburg, Virginia. She was divorced with a 5-year-old son. She drove the boy 6 blocks to his kindergarten class, then presumably went to her job in a real estate office. Instead, she apparently dropped off the edge of the earth. Until 1999, when her body was uncovered in a shallow grave a few miles from her home. There were no clues, no witnesses, no motive, and no evidence at all. Real puzzlers. At least the body of that woman had been found, although no one was ever convicted of her murder. I made notes on both cases, then turned my attention to Tom Mott. There was no information on his early years, except that he was the only son of Douglas and Clara Mott, who owned and operated a small ranch near Amarilla. Douglas Mott was also a partner in a small local trucking company. Both Motts were killed when their car was hit by a drunken driver. Tom Mott, of course, inherited quite a bit of property, but that didn't seem sufficient to explain the purchase of the ranch he and Andrea bought shortly after their marriage. Tom Mott had never been married before he met Andrea and had always lived on the small ranch with his parents. Perhaps he had some money of his own that he invested wisely, or perhaps his father was a much shrewder money manager than he appeared to be. I was betting that Lieutenant Davis could fill us in on where Tom's money actually came from. As I sat puzzling over this information, I heard Mom downstairs talking to someone on the phone, probably Sophie. If nothing came from our involvement in this, at least Mom and Andrea's mother would become friends. Turning off my computer, I pulled my small suitcase out of the closet.